series called All I Want for Christmas. And All I Want for Christmas, we're going to talk about this morning. All I Want for Christmas is for God to show up. As a kid, it was pretty easy to think about what you wanted for Christmas. Maybe you did like what I did, and we created Christmas lists that we gave to Santa or to our parents to give to Santa. But it was easy. We had like our Hot Wheels cars. I was a kid of the 80s. The Hot Wheels cars with the tracks that would go around, or maybe, you know, some years it was a bike or different things like that. So we had things that we wanted for Christmas. Maybe about you, like what, this can be kind of like, we're all together this morning, this can be free response. What were some of the things that you asked for as a kid for Christmas, or things that you wanted for Christmas as a child? Yes. X-Wing fighter. Oh, an X-Wing fighter, still relevant today. This is good. Timmy, how was the movie? Oh, I haven't seen a Star Wars, okay, good. Oh, John. Toy soldiers, excellent. A baby what? A baby buggy, yeah. Okay. That, okay, baby buggy. A baby buggy. Barbie doll, did someone say? A Barbie doll motor home. Barbie's on the move. Oh, I heard one back there. Electric football? Like, I don't know what that is. What is electric football? Like, or the game with, like, the, yeah, that buzz, the little figures kind of buzzed and... New bike? There you go. A puppy. One year, yeah, that happened. That's a good segue, actually, because one year, my brother and I showed up, and we went to my grandmother's house every Christmas afternoon. We did morning with my parents, and my grandmother lived an hour away, and we went to her house kind of for the larger family gathering for lunch and then another round of presents, which is amazing. And one Christmas, we walked in the house, and a dog came running at us, and we said, whose dog is this? And they said, it's yours. And that was, I still remember that to this day. I don't remember much about my childhood. I remember that. I had a fine childhood. It wasn't because of trauma. I just don't remember much about my childhood. But I remember the dog showing up. And yes?
Lionel train set.
I've got one of those.
My brother got it.
Your brother, oh... We'll talk about that. We're going to talk about disappointment here in a second. We can work through that. Lionel train set. It's easy. It was easier as a kid to think through all I want for Christmas is something, and you could fill in the blank. But becoming an adult, let's be honest, it's made it a lot harder. And I don't necessarily mean it's harder to shop for an adult, although it is. It's not because we have everything we want, but I think it's harder as an adult to answer what we would want for Christmas because the experience we have as adults is a lot more involved. We would probably willingly give up some of the tangible assets or products that we have in order to really kind of capture and deal with some of the deeper stuff in our lives. Maybe there are burdens that have been put upon you or that you have felt that have been going on in your heart for months, maybe even this entire 2019, and maybe all you want for Christmas is that burden to be released. Maybe there are relationships that have just been torn and broken, and as much as you've tried and tried and tried, just can't seem to be put back together again, and if you had any wish, it would be all I want for Christmas is that relationship to be restored. Maybe there's healing, maybe there's hope, maybe there's a certainty about the future that you desperately long for. The idea of all I want for Christmas gets a lot more complicated as adults. And this morning we're going to talk about this because at the heart of it is this idea that we're longing for God to show up. We're longing for God to show up in the midst of our stories. And what I want to do today is take us through a passage in the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 64. And Isaiah 64 is going to be kind of in these three movements this morning. So if you kind of like parts this morning, if you want to know where we're going, this is kind of our outline. We're going to talk about longing. We're going to talk about confession. And then we're going to talk about permanence. Longing, confession, and permanence. My hope today is that through these three kind of movements of where we're headed today is that you would have space, that before we get to the big celebration of Christmas Eve two nights from now, that you would have space to journey through 2019, to journey through what God has on your heart right now, that you would have space to move through these three pieces here today. That just as Jesus was born into darkness, into 400 years of silence and darkness, that whatever is going on in your story, that you would give space to that, and so that two nights from now, you're celebrating in full. That you would have a new rhythm and a new longing of desire. That you would have new hope that God would show up in your story. So we're going to be in Isaiah chapter 64, verses 1 through 9, longing, confession, and permanence. The first movement this morning is around longing. This is verses 1 through 4 of Isaiah chapter 64. You'll see it on the screen above me. The prophet Isaiah says, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you. As when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil, come down and make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. For when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down and the mountains trembled before you. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him." Isaiah gives voice, I think, to that longing that we all feel. He starts with this statement. He says, "God, I wish that you would rend the heavens," which is just an ancient word that means to rip. He says, "God, I wish that you would just rip open the heavens." Now, heaven, heaven isn't talked about as like the farthest star like that we haven't discovered. Heaven is the realm in which God operates and dwells and lives, and earth is here. And when the Bible talks about these two realms, they talk about these two realms interacting and colliding. And Isaiah says, you know what? It feels like that's not happening anymore. It feels like, God, there's this distance between you and us. It feels like there's this barrier between you and us. And God, I just wish that you would rip down that barrier. I wish that heaven and earth would come together. You don't have to get very far in the prophet's words that you get a sense of the longing, I think, that you and I feel at different stages in our life. But God, you feel distant. There feels a separation. God, could you do whatever you need to do to remove that gap? A modern-day writer talks about this by using the phrase I find fascinating. He calls it the absence of God. Now, not literally that God is absent. I don't believe that. He's not, just to be clear. But it feels like that at sometimes. There are these moments where it just feels like, am I just alone in the world? There's moments where it feels like the world doesn't operate like it should. There's moments where it feels like there's a distance between God and me. And so the prophet Isaiah puts into voice this longing, God, that you would break down that barrier. Would you break down that barrier? Then in verses 3 and 4, what's interesting is he refers back to a pivotal moment in the history of Israel. Verse 3 probably refers to God giving the law to Moses on Mount Sinai back in the book of Exodus. Because when that happened, when God gave the law to Moses, it was an incredibly dramatic event. There was fire, there was darkness, there was earthquake. You can see this in Exodus 19. It was a massive moment. No one didn't see it. That's a double negative, I realize. Everyone saw what was happening. God was doing a huge thing where God kind of ripped open this barrier between heaven and earth and said, I am here, and he reveals himself to people. And the prophet says, we want that again. God, do that type of thing again. Reveal yourself again. Let's go back to those days. Maybe not literally those days, but those moments where that barrier was gone. Maybe you've had moments like that in your life. Maybe you've had moments in 2019 where it's like, God, remember last year, or remember 6 months ago, or remember 5 years ago? I want that again. God, something has changed, it feels like. It feels like there's a barrier between you in me. And the prophet says, God, would you rip down that barrier? There's this longing that the prophet starts with. And I think before we move into Christmas and we move into what it means that God has come to us, we have to sit in this for a minute. I love that the prophet doesn't yet resolve it. He wants to, that kind of that longing and that tension to sit there for a second. You and I at times kind of push beyond that, and maybe we just need to sit with that for a bit. Maybe 2019 has brought disappointment for you as you consider God. Maybe it's brought confusion. Maybe there's deep longing in your heart, and it's easy just to run past that with everything going on and all the shopping we have to do, all the schedule we have to keep this next week. But this morning, I just want to give a space to sit in this, to be honest, and for you to be honest with God, with the longing, with the disappointment, with kind of asking this question that I think is implied in these first couple of verses of, God, are you willing to act again? God, are you willing to show up again? Or are we on our own here? I think that's kind of what the prophet Isaiah has put out for us. Disappointments aren't naturally going to lead you there. You have to choose to embrace the longing. You have to choose to be present with God. And you and I can join the prophet and say, God, we deeply want this barrier, this gap, this disappointment, this missing out, this longing. God, would you do something in the midst of this? So there's a beautiful Christmas song we're going to sing that Savannah's going to lead us in. And I'd love for you to sing it. I'd love for you not to sing it, whatever you want to do. But I want to give space for the longing. Don't rush past this. If you want to sing it and that helps you process, great. And if you just want to sit silently and watch the words, that's fine. But just take stock. Take stock of 2019. Take stock of where you are right now. And be willing to be honest with God, quietly with God on your own, of the longings, of the disappointments, of this desire, God, that you would break down the barriers between you. Jesus arrives in the midst of longing. But as we move through that period of longing, something else begins to happen. As we take a deeper look at ourselves, Jesus not only steps into longing, but he steps into the midst of the human condition and does something to change what has been deeply wrong about humanity since almost the beginning. Look at this in verse 5 through 7. He moves from longing to confession. He says about God, he says, God, you come to help. You come to the help of those who gladly do right, who remember your ways. But when we continue to sin against them, you were angry. How then could we be saved? All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all of our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us and have given us over to our sins. The prophet talks about something deeply wrong in the human condition. He comes and he says it in this interesting way. He says back in verse 4, he talked about ancient times. In verse 5, he talks about continuing. They're the same words in the original language. In other words, what's been constant since the very beginning has been God's purposes, God's revelation in the world, and at the same time, it's humanity's rejection of it. And these two streams have moved together. And the prophet, in essence, says, this isn't right. Something God needs to change in us. Something needs to be made new in us. And I kind of label this section as confession. He talks about it as in this way, that God has hidden his face from people, back to that barrier between God and people. That there's a hiding going on. There's a distance. That there are ways that we act that separate us from God, that hide us from who God is. Mark shared last week, if you were here, about the Garden of Eden and that poignant story, that moment, one of the most critical questions, I think, in all of humanity, when God comes to Adam and Eve after they've turned from him and done their own thing, and he says, "Where are you?" It's not a question to fill God's knowledge. It was a question that was calling out their willingness to be seen by him. Because in the midst of their sin, they were unwilling to be seen by God. I wonder if confession could be defined like this. I wonder if confession is admitting that we're hiding. I mean, think about that. We did that as kids, right? When you had those wonderful Christmas presents, and then 2 hours later, you got angry at your brother because he got the train and you didn't, and you hit him or something. I don't know, Jerry. Maybe you didn't. Hopefully you didn't. You're a nicer guy than me. But there were some moments where you did something later that day, and what happened when you were a kid? When you did something you shouldn't have, you hid. You told a lie. No, it wasn't my fault. They made me do it. We do everything we can to hide from God. And that question that he asked Adam and Eve, where are you? He still asks of you and me today. And we're still faced with this idea. Are we willing to be found by God? In the midst of Christmas, in the midst of Christmas coming, are you willing to be found by God? We can get all the way through the end of this year, face all of this longing, disappointment that we talked about earlier. We can face the darkness that's in us that desperately needs to change. And we can get to a place where somehow we start to believe, God doesn't want anything to do with me. And Christmas declares the opposite. The Christmas declares that God has done everything to come to you. Maybe confession today for you is just asking yourself this question. Are you willing to be found by him? For this element of confession this morning, I want to read a prayer. I often use a prayer from to close our services from a collection of prayers from a book called The Valley of Vision. And I want to read a prayer around this idea of confession. And you can keep your eyes open and read the screen if you want. If you want to close your eyes and just hear, I'm going to read this. I'm just going to read sections of it and give us space in between. I want you to think about that question that I asked earlier. Are you willing to be found by God? If not, what's stirring in you? Why not? What have you started to believe about yourself that God doesn't believe about you? What distance have you created? What ways have you hidden? Maybe Christmas for you, the best gift for you is a willingness to be found by the God who passionately and deeply loves you. So this is our prayer of confession. Make this your prayer. You can read it. You can listen to it. This is between you and God. God, give me a deeper repentance, a horror of sin, a dread of its approach. Help me to chastely to flee it and jealously to resolve that my heart shall be thine alone. Give me a deeper trust, that I may lose myself to find myself in thee, the ground of my rest and the spring of my being. Give me a deeper knowledge of thyself, a Savior, Master, Lord, and King. Give me deeper power in private prayer, more sweetness in thy word, more steadfast grip on its truth. Give me deeper holiness in speech, thought, and action, and let me not seek moral virtue apart from thee. Plow deep in me, great Lord, heavenly farmer, that my being may be a tilled field, the roots of grace spreading far and wide, until thou alone art seen in me, thy beauty golden like summer harvest, and thy fruitfulness as autumn plenty. I have no master but thee, no law but thy will, no delight but thyself, no wealth but that thou givest, no good but that thou blessest, no peace but that thou bestowest. I am nothing but that thou makest me. I have nothing but that I receive from thee. I can be nothing but that thy grace adorns me. Quarry me deep, dear Lord, and then fill me to overflowing with living water. Amen. Longing, confession, and the last movement here in the passage is permanence. Permanence. Here in verses 8 through 9 is the permanence of God's character and relationship. Yet you, Lord, are our God, our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are the work of your hand. Do not be angry beyond measure, Lord. Do not remember our sins forever, or look on us, we pray. Look on us, we pray, for we are all your people. I love the imagery in that first verse. He talks about three types of relationship. He talks about a father and a child. He talks about a potter and a clay. And the third one there, the work of your hand, was to reference a skilled worker, an artist. And his point bringing out here is all of these relationships are permanent relationships, a parent and a child, a potter and a piece of clay, an artist and the thing that they create. These are permanent relationships. And he's got this beautiful statement that he says at the end of it, or at the beginning of it, he says, yet you. Like within two words, like if you had to sum up Christmas, if you had to move from today to two nights from now, you could move with those two words. Yet you. We've been from longing, God, that there's a distance that we desire that you change. And then we've seen the depths of what's wrong with our humanity. And in one movement, we see Christmas. Yet you. Everything we've done is filthy and unclean, it said in our confession. That God's face is hidden, that we're unwilling at times to even be seen by him, and yet you. God does something. That is Christmas, that God has come to us even when we were distant, even in the midst of our disappointment, even in the midst of our waiting. God came, yet you. Something changes. There's something permanent about his view of us. There's this love of a father and a child. There's the purpose of a potter and a piece of clay. There's the skill of a craftsman and a work of art. There's something that God is doing intentionally in you. So in the midst of your story, whatever your story has led you in 2019, your story can end with December with these two words, yet you. God has done something in you. God is doing something in you. Yet you. He says, God, yet you have moved from anger to favor, where he says, look upon us. He says, God has moved from rejection to acceptance. He says, we are your people. That yet you, that God has not remained static. It's not like God's going to always operate this way. It's that he's going to operate consistent to his character. God's going to do the very best thing that needs to be done to draw you closer to himself and to do the work in you that will bring the good work that he has planned to do in you about. The good news of this season is yet you, God, have done something. There's something permanent about God and his character that leads him to act in ways that brings about his work in you. Yet you. This is what Christmas is about. This is what we move to two nights from now. This is what we celebrate two nights from now. This is what people were sitting in this longing and this deep confession in, is waiting for God to act. And Christmas says that God has acted, that has changed the story. There is a verse 8 where before there wasn't. There is yet you. In John chapter 1, there's this fascinating statement where he's talking about what it means that Jesus has come to earth at Christmas. And he says this in verses 16 through 17. He says, out of his fullness we have received grace in place of grace already given. I love that. God has given you grace. And if you feel like you've gotten to a point where that grace has run out, you're like, you know, I've wasted that grace. I've used that grace. I know I received grace, and I've done stuff that wipes that grace out. Well, here's the good news. God gave you even more. And when you feel like you're at the end of grace, there's even more grace. And when you think you've reached the end of that grace, there's even more grace. God doesn't stop giving grace to you. Amen. That God does not stop giving grace to you. He gives grace in place of grace. God, we've got enough grace. Thank you very much. He's like, no, you don't. Here's some more. It's more grace and more grace and more grace. This is what Christmas has brought about. It's grace on top of grace on top of grace for you. And he says he's given grace, a place of grace that's already been given. It's just an endless loop of grace for you. And then I love verse 17. He says, for the law was given through Moses. We heard about that earlier. And grace and truth have come through Jesus. So he brings us back. He brings us back to the beginning of Isaiah passage this morning. Remember, we talked about that in verse 3. We talked about a moment when God revealed himself, when he ripped open the heavens, came to earth, and Moses received the law on the mountain of Mount Sinai. And what John says is, as amazing as that event is, as much as Isaiah would love to see that happen again, John says something better is here. That the best thing that Isaiah could long for, that God, you would like reveal yourself in the same way that you revealed yourself to Moses on Mount Sinai, John says, that's nothing. Something better has happened in the person of Jesus. Something better has happened at Christmas. Grace upon grace upon grace for you. That's what Christmas is about. That is hope for you with whatever your story has been in 2019. These three words, longing. Maybe 2019 has been a time where you've just felt the absence of God. Again, we don't mean literally. I don't believe he's absent. But it's felt like that maybe for you at times. Maybe longing has derailed you, and you come to Christmas not even ready for Christmas. My hope today is that you would hear that there is grace on top of grace for you. Maybe 2019 has meant a season of hiding for you. Maybe not hiding publicly, but hiding from God. Maybe Christmas is a time where you need to be willing to answer the question, are you willing to be seen by him? Do you believe that he has grace on top of grace for you? I do. Maybe 2019 has meant the permanence of the character of God for you. Maybe you've seen God at work in consistent ways, consistent with his character throughout your story, that lead you into Christmas to celebrate, that help tell that story to other people, that there is grace upon grace upon grace because of Christmas. I want you to hear that. I want you to hear that for you. I want you to hear God's initiatory goodness, as one writer put it, that he has started something good for you. Don't keep Christmas at a distance. He has come in the midst of your longing. He has come in the midst of your confession and hiding. He has come with the permanence of his character to give you grace upon grace. That is Christmas for you. That is the gift for you this Christmas season. We want to close this morning with a song. It's a song of declaration. It's a song that tells the story of God and what he has done through the person of Jesus. I want to invite you to go ahead and stand up, and then after we sing, I'll come back with a brief benediction and we'll be done. But I encourage you to sing this. I encourage you to take in these words, to think about that the way that God has built this story in pursuit of you and the good things that he's doing for you in the person of Jesus.